Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Oops, there goes my cream all over my face. Oh my. Oops, there goes serum dripping to my feet. Oh my. Oops, some kind of oil caressing my legs. Oh my. Ooh, I'm a Natchbeaut. Who could this be? Welcome to Natchbeaut, everybody. Welcome to Natchbeaut, the lifestyle beauty comedy podcast where we laugh, we cry, and we cream. I am your host and your guide, Jackie J, a.k.a. the Beauty Talk Shock Jock, your queen of creams, host of the most serums, the freshest fringe on the West Coast, your favorite over 30 niche influencer, your kooky southern aunt, and I'm creaming while my baby is screaming. Welcome to Natchbeaut. I've been wanting to do Oops by Twee, the famous Twee, for years on Natchbeaut. I've tried to find a backing track on the internet that doesn't have the help vocals, and they all do. So I can't, that is above my audio engineering level where I can remove the backing vocals. So I did acapella today because I just felt it in my bones that Oops. And famously, that song was stuck in my head while I took my SAT, and I think it's why I got a bad score. I literally was like trying to do math problems and I kept hearing Oops. And I'm like, damn it, why did I listen to that on the way to take my SATs? 2002, crazy year. Anyway, let's get to my guest. My guest is very exciting. I have so much respect for my guest for various reasons. Number one, veteran of the art of podcasting. Yes, honey. An impressive resume of work. Yes, sweetie. She doesn't have an Instagram. No, she does not. Yes, I respect it. Okay. You may have heard of the podcast 99% Invisible. Produced that. And now, honey, hosting the spinoff Articles of Interest, which you've probably heard, but guess what? Season 3 is out now, and it is all about American Ivy, aka preppy clothes. How exciting. We do talk about clothes on Natchbeaut, and I'm excited. I have so many questions for my guest. She has a velvety voice and great fits, as the kids say, and her name is Delicious. Please welcome, you're going to be excited about this, Avery Truffleman. Welcome to Natchbeaut. You have a delicious name and a delicious voice.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm very grateful to whatever clerk at Ellis Island mistakenly changed that on behalf of my great-grandfather. But it totally works, you know?
Isn't that interesting how often that happens?
Totally. Someone once told me,
and they really recently butcher them. They butcher them worse than a Starbucks employee.
Oh, totally. Someone once told me that their grandfather at Ellis Island was named Squirrel. Like, the last name was Squirrel because that day in the newspaper, like, some squirrel started a fire and they looked down at the headline and they were like, Squirrel. Like, they were actually,
I want to interview,
they're having fun with it.
I want to interview the worker at Ellis Island.
Who was circa like 19.
Yeah, who was serving
35.
Us barista energy of botched names because they changed the course of history. My husband's mother's father, their last name is Pasternak, which is Ukrainian, to poster, P-O-S-T-E-R. And I'm like, how did they do that? I don't get it. It's like not even
incredible
near it.
Incredible Starbucks energy. Incredible.
Honey, it's giving, first day barista. It's giving first day barista. Let's unionize, by the way, everybody. Let's support the workers. Avery, we have so much to discuss, so I'm going to stop wasting my time hemming and hawing. First question every guest gets on Natchbeaut, what type of skin do you have?
I don't know how to answer this question. I feel like I guess I have oily skin.
Okay.
I just have problem skin. I don't have very good skin. And that's like the thing that I don't enjoy about me.
Wow. Oh, so much to unpack.
I need help. I know.
Oh my goodness. Well, keep listening. We're going to help. The next warm-up question I ask everybody is the first beauty product you ever bought or used, but I kind of wanted to flip it on you and say, do you remember the first piece of clothing that you ever bought?
Oh, interesting.
Now, if you want to answer the beauty question, you can.
Okay, side note, I will say the first beauty product that I like went to Sephora and bought was that like Jessica Simpson edible stuff.
Okay.
Do you remember this?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was like frosting flavored lip gloss. Oof. I was like, that's brilliant. Yeah.
You were like, I need that.
Just eating it out of the tube. Like, oh, I love it. So that was the first, but I remember distinctly. Okay. I don't remember like the first like clothes. I remember weirdly one day in middle school, I was like, you know what? I'm going to try something different. And I remember I had these big beaded earrings that some kooky aunt brought back for me from some vacation or some street fair.
That's kooky Southern aunt energy right there.
Very, very kooky. They were kooky earrings. And I wore it in middle school when everyone was wearing like Abercrombie. And I remember I got a lot of comments, you know, like, what are those? And I remember at the end of the day, I ripped them off and I threw them out. And I was so ashamed. But that moment like started something for me. I was like, oh, this was powerful. This had a hold on me. This was big. Everybody
because
noticed.
That is a statement piece.
It was a statement, and but that was like, oh, it wasn't really me.
You were participating in culture in a way that you maybe hadn't before, and that was unlocking all of these different things.
It unlocked all these. I was like, I don't know what to do with these feelings. Yes. I don't know what to do. So that was like a key in my biopic, perhaps. That would be like a tiny vignette.
Yep.
Throwing out the earrings.
I'm telling you, it's so funny how all we want to do is conform and blend in when we're young. And if I could go back in time, I would be like, honey, rock those kooky aunt earrings. Be the coolest person in the room. But we are all just figuring it out back then.
It's so true. It's so true. And it doesn't just make you feel so tenderly towards like that kooky little kid you see.
Especially now, everything out. I have a tiny, tiny child. My child is barely cognitive. He's only 4 months old. But I just am like, the thought of him going to school with his little lunchbox, I can't even imagine. Like, it blows my mind. I'm like, you're going to go to school and people are probably going to be mean to you. And I can't. I can't go there right now.
Do you think you'd encourage him to like embrace?
Oh, yeah. I'd be like, put on your kooky aunt earrings, honey. I'll wear them too. Okay. Everyone gets a special question that no one else gets. And again, I did pertain this to your current work. I hope you have an answer for me, but no pressure. Do you remember one of your outfits for the first day of school? Do any of them come to mind, or pieces, or something that you remember from your childhood wardrobe besides the kooky aunt earrings?
The kooky aunt earrings was a first day of school thing. That was a very,
see, because
like,
you kind of answered my question already.
Yeah. No. You teed it up so well. I don't know. Surely there must be others, but that was definitely
I used to remember every single outfit I wore on the first day of school, but somewhere along the way, those memories, I guess looking at Instagram too long, you know, you only have so many brain cells, and I pushed out them. But I had this.
But wasn't that so magical, though?
Oh,
like the moment,
honey,
like the opportunity of the first day back.
Honey, it's a clean slate. You, this makes or breaks the year of the impression. And that was such a big deal, like figuring out my look.
Wait, were you going to say you remember one? I cut you off.
I do. I remember senior year of high school, which I thought I was the shit. I had a Gap long denim skirt with a big slit. And let me tell you something. They're back. I was just at Target yesterday, and a gorgeous girl was walking out of Target, and she had on a long denim skirt. And I was like, I wish I kept it. I wish I kept it. And I had Steve Madden shoes, which I had the real ones, even though normally I would buy the Payless knockoff. But my dad gave me his card. It was a big deal. Okay, senior year. And I went and bought the real ones, sweetie.
Wow.
So I was looking pretty cute. I'm not going to lie to you, Avery.
What was the top? Do you remember?
I don't remember the top. And I'm actually sad that you journalized me and tried to get it out of me, because I was like,
sorry.
I feel so bad that I don't remember the top. But again, a lot of my memories have been erased.
Yeah.
It's been 20 years almost.
But I feel like it's going to happen like it happened with the denim skirt. You're going to see someone wearing the top.
And then it'll bring
one
it back.
One of these days. And it's like, oh my God, like the key.
Yes. Well, I can't wait for that moment. Okay, stop interviewing me. The next question. This is the last warm-up question. This is Natch Butte. We celebrate natural beauty of all things. What is the most beautiful thing about you?
Well, my voice probably.
Oh,
but I feel like
I'm
rapidly, I don't know. I don't take very good care of it. I really don't.
But that,
like, I'm always losing it.
But that gives it that grit, honey. And that grit, you can't buy that.
I'd like to think so. Right. It's like leather or denim or these things that just are better when they get beat up a little bit. So yeah, I'm always like yelling at shows and losing my voice and like drinking and having too many cigarettes. I don't take care of it, and I should start to take care of it.
Did you have this voice when you were little?
I did.
Same, yeah.
It's funny. Oh, really? Like when you were a baby, oh, you were like, wah.
Yeah, yeah. Wah. Wah. Change my diaper, mom. Yeah. Yes.
Were you ever embarrassed of it as a kid?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Sorry, I'll stop interviewing you.
Yeah, of course. The things that I most disliked about myself were that I was tall and had a thin body and I had a deep voice. And those are now the things that define me and make me different. And so, listen, kids, embrace your quirks.
I mean, your voice is so incredible and singular. When I looked you up, I was like, I was shocked by your youth.
Oh,
you sound so wise.
Well, I'm sure you get that too.
Oh, really?
No.
Funny. I don't know. People sometimes be like, you don't look like how I thought you would look. And then they don't say how they thought I would look.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, listen, everybody Google us if you want to know what we look like. And if not, move on. Okay, Avery. So 99% Invisible, a show all about noticing the design of most things that people don't give much thought to. So many episodes, the Hollywood Walk of Fame, houseplants. When did you start noticing the design of things? Is this something that you've always had an eye for?
That's such a great question. I think sort of. Before I worked with 99% Invisible, I was always like interested in design, and I thought maybe I could be a designer. Mm-hmm. But I think at that point, what I thought design was in like high school was like wallpaper magazine, like fancy design was what I thought design was. It wasn't so much about manhole covers and fire escapes and things all around us. So I really had to sort of develop that muscle when I worked for the show. Mm-hmm. And it was great because when I worked, we were so small when I started, the show was like 3 years old at the time. And we were kind of like, ah, shit, we need episodes. So I very quickly was suddenly like
looking at everything. Yeah.
Looking around the room being like, what's the story behind everything? So I built up that muscle real fast.
I want to know why your Twitter bio says beauty is a duty.
Oh, I change my Twitter bio all the time. Oh. I think I changed it again already. But that's a quote from this designer named Tamás Király, who is Hungarian, who was making... It is so cool. He was making basically fashion runway shows in Hungary in the 80s under communism. So there was, when he would do these runway shows, it wasn't like then there was a couture line or ready-to-wear line or anything to buy. The shows were just shows.
Wow.
They were just art. It was like severed from
commercialism. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And also he had like not, there was no fashion week. So if you look at videos of his shows, they're like these Robert Wilson operas. They're beautiful. It's like what he thinks.
Are these on YouTube?
They're on YouTube.
Oh man.
He's so fascinating. And I was just in Budapest and I was like, I'm working on a little story about him. And he had this line that said, beauty is a duty. And I was like, that's so gorgeous, given his whole circumstance. And so I find that all the time. Whenever I find a quote, I'm just like, put it in my Twitter bio. Just because I'm so sick of Twitter bios acting like LinkedIn, being like, find me on this and this and this and this, even though probably that would be helpful for me to like say.
Well, yeah, you're very mysterious. As I mentioned previously, you don't have an Instagram. And that's one of the first things I do when I start doing research for my guests. I go on their Instagram and I get their vibe. And I was like, there's no vibe here. What's the vibe? I can't. They're not having an Instagram is a vibe. But then I saw that quote. I love that you change it because I used to change my MySpace quote like every day. Do you remember those?
That's the energy.
Yes.
100%. I'm a new person now.
Well, because I've been told by many a professional to list everything you've done and make everybody know who you are because you can't assume people know who you are. But I love that you just put a random quote in there. I might change mine.
I mean, it's funny because I also get mad at people who like don't give me any information
like,
about who they are. I'm like, who is this? How do they expect me to know who they are. And then I go ahead and do it. I don't know. Yeah, I should change it. I'll change it.
Well, I think it's fabulous and fun. So don't.
Okay.
I want to play New Palette Who Dis with you, which is a game on the show where I show you a new wacky collection of makeup products and you give me your opinion.
Ooh.
But before we do that, I want to ask you about Budapest, because I read that you went to a famous thermal bath.
Oh, I did.
And I would love to hear that experience, because I went one time to the Korean spa in LA, and I realize those are not the same thing, but...
You went to We Spa.
Yes. Have you been?
I love We Spa. Yeah. Yes.
So I'm curious what... These are famous. These are famous experience in Budapest. Can you give us just a little titillation of what it was like?
Oh, man. The key thing is it was just so international. It was just tons of tourists all over the world. Just soaking with all different international standards of what is sanitary.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There was one guy who had an open wound. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. So it was really just, it was pretty chaotic.
Yeah.
And definitely wanted to shower afterwards. But the baths themselves, they're old. They're like beautiful old stone baths. And
they're giant,
really,
right?
Cool.
Like,
and they're giant.
Swimming pool.
Cavernous. Yeah. Yeah. Really, really,
and
really
everybody
cool.
just gets in together.
Everybody just gets
naked?
In together. It's a huge... No, not naked. But not with the full cloth. Like, I love that in We Spa, you have to wear the t-shirt mm-hmm. and the shorts. No, you just... Everyone's in their bathing suit.
Okay.
And
not as exciting.
You know, really,
I was thinking you're in a big soup of naked bodies, but I'll take a swimsuit. That's fine.
Oh, yeah. That would be way more like Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The whole vibe was very Game of Thrones, except for like the dorky... swim trunks. But you know, the funny thing is now phones are so waterproof. Like everyone was on their phone. Like people are FaceTiming with like their friends back in Korea and the Dominican Republic. It was kind of amazing. I have to say, I normally, when I am in another country, I tend to get really dorky about like, oh, what's the history of this building? Mm-hmm. But I was in Budapest visiting my boyfriend because he was shooting a movie there. And it was a movie that took place in New York, which was very funny. So I was mostly just like there visiting. Not being as attentive a visitor as I normally would be. So I can't say that I could like tell you the history of this bath in the way that I would normally like to.
Yeah. Did you get COVID?
I did not get COVID, but there was COVID everywhere. Oh my God. Everyone else on set got COVID. Great question. It was rampant. It was really scary.
It's just one of those things now. I had it in July and it was horrible.
Oh, no.
And but now I'm like, I'm antibodied. I can go out for another couple months, but I think
you're bodied.
I'm bodied up, but now I think I haven't yet, but I'm going to. I'm still writing my antibodies. Get the new vaccine, and then I'm going to lock down for the winter because I have a baby and I can't get COVID again. That sucked.
I'm so sorry.
But it's part of our life now. If you want to go to the Budapest bath, if you want to go to this, whatever, you got to listen, assess your risks.
I feel like that's now the ultimate decider of experience. When you're like, how was the bath? I would say if I had gotten COVID from it, it would have been worth it.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's a great litmus test. Is it COVID
yeah,
worthy?
Exactly. It was COVID worthy, ultimately, but thankfully no COVID.
Okay, excellent. Let's play New Palette Who Dis.
What's up, girl? New Palette Who Dis.
So... I'm sure within your work, you know all about the fast fashion industry. The beauty industry, no exception. Fast beauty is very prominent. And these companies release these collections, these palettes, every 5 minutes, and the licensing is getting unhinged. So I'm going to put in the chat a link. Now, you don't have Instagram, so I hope this works. If it doesn't...
I hope so, too. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
Okay, if it doesn't, I'll have to find it for you on the real internet. So let me know, does it work when you click it?
There we go.
Okay. So this is the Scooby-Doo collection by Glamlight. Now, if you scroll through, there's a lot of stuff happening here. We have an eyeshadow palette. We have several eyeshadow palettes. We have highlighters. We have a mascara.
Oh my
we have
God.
Lipsticks. We have liner and lashes.
In like neon colors. Or day glow sort of colors.
Avery, what do you think? Are you a Scooby-Doo fan?
I kind of am a Scooby-Doo fan. Can I tell you why?
Yeah,
for a really
of course.
Dorky reason. there was recently this op-ed in, I believe it was Bloomberg, about how Scooby-Doo, you know, it like came out in the 60s and 70s, was anti-Victorian architecture propaganda. Like, this is the era when everyone's knocking down old Victorian buildings and building like cool, new, edgy, brutalist buildings. And so in every Scooby-Doo episode, they're like, oh, like bad house. Look at, you know, this, wow, this beautiful Victorian with its wraparound porch and its turrets. And like, isn't that awful? And looking at it through that lens, I love it. I love it as like a cultural artifact.
This is a 99% invisible energy.
Totally.
How fascinating. Totally. Well, maybe you could look at these palettes and does this evoke, I don't know. I like Scooby-Doo fine. I wouldn't call myself a real super fan, but do these colors in these palettes evoke Scooby-Doo for you?
Honestly, I dig it. I am so into these.
Yeah.
I think these are really fun. I totally want one, especially the like dark teal, mm-hmm, and then the option for like shiny dark, mm-hmm, teal. This is great. I really love it.
I believe that is the Ruh-Roh Raggy eyeshadow palette is the name of that one. Cause I agree with you. If I had to pick the two palettes here, I would pick the Ruh-Roh as well, because those colors to me feel Scooby. I feel like that.
Yes.
That middle color of the kind of pukey green. I see that's like the '70s. That's like the Scooby Doo kind of kooky hippie color. So
yes,
I agree with you. Now, would you wear, Avery, that color on your eye? Would you wear this tealy metallic color?
Ooh, were I a bolder man?
Yeah.
I just don't wear eye color, but I wish I would.
Well, if you buy this could be the day.
This could be the day.
Yeah.
Just in time for Halloween. It's a weird, you know what's interesting though? I kind of commend them for like not using Daphne and Velma.
Yes.
It's very interesting branding.
Yep, you're right.
They really could have on the more like pinkish toned one, make it like a very Daphne.
Yes, I would. And I like Daphne because she has kind of,
I love her.
Yeah, I love her outfits and everything. All right. Well,
but it's interesting.
The next one is quite the pivot.
Okay.
Although maybe you could argue it isn't, I would say. I just sent you another link. Are you familiar, Avery, that every celebrity is currently coming out with a skincare line?
Yes.
So the newest member is Ozzy Osbourne. Ozzy Osbourne is starting a collection with the company Rock and Roll Beauty for a beauty product line, including a 14-pan eyeshadow palette shaped like a coffin. One will be shaped like a bat.
Oh,
Ozzy body tattoos, a gothic mirror, nail stickers, lipsticks, and a cosmetic bag. Now, listen, Ozzy is rocking eyeliner in this photo. He does know a thing or two about the theatrics of makeup and things. But Avery, what are your thoughts? Now, the collection is not here. This is just the news alert about it happening. What are your initial thoughts? Would you buy an Ozzy Osbourne palette? I told you it's unhinged.
It's very unhinged. But you know, the funny thing is like, it's just this is my bitchy take.
Yeah,
it's like, it's just a little too late.
Yes.
His moment is not now. And
you know what?
This would have been great like a while ago. But
when Meet the Osbournes was on and they were the hottest family in town,
exactly,
I would have bought the shit out of an Ozzy palette.
When Kelly was making her amazing music,
yes,
it was so good.
Oh, I wonder if she had her baby. She was pregnant the same time as me. I got to look her up.
Oh my God.
My friend saw her at the doctor. I didn't tell anybody though. When she announced it, I was like, there it is. But my friend was like, I'm at the doctor. And I said, I'm keeping that for myself.
Oh, that is such good LA tact.
Oh, yeah,
that
of course.
That is so classy.
No, I'm not Dumois. Fuck Dumois. Okay, I don't tell. When I see somebody, I don't tell anybody. It's called privacy, sweetie. So, yeah, maybe Ozzy's missed his moment. Why now? It's so random.
Yeah, it's just so interesting. It's so clearly like makeup first and then the man.
Well, it just.
And not leading with the man.
At this point, it just feels like everyone's calling their agent. It's sort of like podcasts and saying, hey, get me a palette.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Get me a podcast.
Yeah.
Get me a palette. Which are the two things I want, but everyone's trying to be me, I guess. Okay, Avery, the last one I'm showing you, in the same vein as the Scooby-Doo, we are now checking out a holiday collection
I love peanuts.
Okay. Well, then there you go. Here it is. Peanuts collection. Bloop. Drop it into the chat. Wet and Wild is a major offender in the fast beauty. They have put out for the holidays a Peanuts collection of all the Peanuts Christmas special is iconic. It really is. We've all seen it. We all know it. They've put out an entire collection, and I'm talking a collection. We have nail files, face mist, sponges, nail polish, fa-la-la lipstick, root beer lip scrub. I mean, the whole thing. What do we think, Avery? This palette, if you click on it, the colors are pretty wacky. I don't really see a cohesive thought in it.
No, the colors are all over the place. Although I can see how like each one is supposed to represent a member of the Peanuts gang, which is kind of chaotic. Okay, here's my thought on Peanuts.
Okay.
When I used to live in California, have you ever been to the Charles Schulz estate in Santa Rosa?
No, but that sounds fun.
Go. Oh my God, do yourself a favor. It's so incredible. It is such a cool thing because you go and you like see all these, because Peanuts has been so commercialized.
Yes.
You forget the actual comics.
Yes.
And when you read the comics, you're like, shit, these are dark. They're about like anxiety.
Oh, yeah. I remember the little
depression.
Booth. The little therapy booth.
The little therapy booth. And each of the characters takes turns being like, I don't know how I feel about my friends. I don't know if they like me.
They
Snoopy
were ahead
is, like,
of their
procrastinating
time.
On his novel. They are so ahead of their time. They are so
I've never even
so
thought about
dark.
That.
Yeah. He's like, I don't know how to end my novel. It's like, it's supposed to be a spoof on writerly ennui. And the interesting thing is then you go to the gift shop at the Charles Schulz estate and it's, again, stuff like this.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because you compare it to something famously, Bill Watterson, the creator of Calvin and Hobbes, never made any toys and never made any dolls. And his logic was if someone has a Hobbes toy, that becomes their toy. Like they make up little stories about their Hobbes doll.
Wow.
In the same way that if someone has a Snoopy, that becomes like their
Snoopy. So he was a control freak of his narrative.
Pretty much. But then on the other hand, we all know who, like, if you read Calvin and Hobbes, you like know who
so
those
you're
characters
saying,
are.
You know those stickers of Calvin peeing? Oh. So you're saying he had nothing to do with that.
Oh, shit.
He didn't,
I never thought about
that. He didn't
that.
Make a he, dime off of that. And he could have.
Oh,
imagine how much money he would
have
made.
Oh, my God. That's such a good point. And it must infuriate Bill Watterson.
I would be.
Driving, getting cut off. By a pissing Calvin sticker.
Oh, it's
truck.
Calvin. That's right.
I'm really into comics.
Oh,
I love comics.
Well, then I picked the right collection for you.
You really, really did. Although I'm not a fan of this one.
Yeah.
This
I don't,
palette.
I, you know, the colors are just wacky.
It's, yeah, they're all over the place. They're zany.
I'm sure a talented person into makeup could come up with a great look with this. But for me, as a person who doesn't, like you said, wear eyeshadow very often, I'm like, what would I do with this? I don't even know. Navy blue is having
when.
A moment. That's all I'll say.
Like the light blue for like the 80s
I'm
look?
Seeing it in every palette on New Palette Who Dis. It's just these dark blues. And I'm terrified of that. As a 37-year-old woman, I'm just like, I'm terrified of the blue.
Because you just think you have to be like exceptionally young to pull it off.
It just reminds me of like an 80s lady going to work.
Totally.
And that's my own reprogramming I need to work on. But I don't like it is all I'm saying. And I will also just mention, off mic, we were discussing Howard Stern. Howard Stern has never put out any merch. He has not put out a mug, a shirt,
God,
anything.
Respect. Oh, my God. I had no idea.
Because he doesn't believe in it. Probably the same for a same similar reason of like controlling. I don't know. But he just said he didn't.
Love that.
He
that's
didn't.
So interesting.
I think his argument was just like, I don't need to put out crap. He makes enough money. He's like, I don't know.
That is so cool. And I feel like in media, especially, there are like people telling you, you got to do this, you got to do that. And it's so amazing when someone's just like, no.
I respect it. Now, do I want to put out merch? Yeah, I do. But it just has to be good.
But I want your palette. Like,
that. Honey, the Nashville palette, everybody would want it. It would be so thoughtful. Nobody would be doing New Palette Who Dis and talking trash. People would want it. So we'll see.
Would there be like shades of the same color?
I don't
know. What's the best way to design a palette? I'm getting 99 PI on you here.
Oh my
God. I don't know what makes a palette good.
Have y'all done an episode on palettes?
I don't think so.
Watch the space.
That's a good idea.
Watch the space, okay? Oh, yeah.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we're going to do a fuck, marry, kill. With ooh, preppy clothes items.
Ooh, okay.
Okay. So okay. I have three for you. The first one, fuck, marry, kill. Golf pants, argyle vest, crew socks.
Ooh, you ask such good questions.
Now, for me, crew socks seem the most comfortable. That might be...
Totally, I was like, marry crew socks, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
And what was the other one? Argyle sweaters and
Argyle vest. And golf pants. Now, for me, it makes me think of college frat boys. And I'm like, I've already fucked enough golf pants in my day. I don't need to go back to that time, personally.
I think I would kill golf pants and fuck the argyle vest.
Okay, yeah.
For sure. I love an argyle. I love a preppy vest.
Yeah.
Or like a tennis sweater, like a preppy layer is always really
nice. We love a preppy layer. Okay, that's my same answer, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Now this one I'm curious about. So for fuck, marry, kill, here's the items. Cashmere sweater around the neck.
Ooh.
That's what's key, the placement. Okay.
Tie cashmere
around the neck. Tennis skirt. Boat shoes.
Ooh. I would say
I know. This is hard.
I would marry the skirt.
Okay.
I would marry the skirt. Okay. Those are cute.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are so cute. And I would kill the boat shoes. I would fuck the sweater around the shoulders.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. I agree. Cashmere. I'm like, fucking cashmere. Like, honey, we deserve the luxury. We deserve the eroticism. Like, I'm here for that. Boat shoes, again, reminds me of all the frat guys that I went out with in college. You're done. So, again, we're simpatico here.
I love it.
Okay, this one is a shirt edition. So, these are all three shirts. So, this will be interesting. A white button-up.
Okay.
A collared Lacoste polo.
Okay.
Let's say it's green.
Okay.
And an Abercrombie graphic tee from 2002.
Oh, well, I know which one I'd kill. Definitely the Abercrombie one. 1,000%. Oh, you saw the Abercrombie movie,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
I mean, the words on those shirts.
I bought them / wanted them. Going to Abercrombie for me was it was like a luxury. Like, I would get one item for Christmas from there.
Yes.
And it was just, but I would go in there and like fumble all my fingers all over everything and be like, I wish I could afford this. It'd be cool.
I know. Exactly. No, and I was allowed to go to Abercrombie precisely once.
Yeah.
And just like, I had this one shirt, I wore it over and over and over again. And it's just so amazing, like power that it had. And then because I couldn't have it,
so
I ridiculed people for wearing it. So fascinating.
And the fragrance.
Oh,
I was
God,
like, I just want to be like the rich girls and wear the Abercrombie fragrance. I never bought it.
It's incredible. And like, where did you grow up?
Dallas.
This is so amazing that like, this is a huge nation.
Yes.
And everybody.
They were onto something. They were onto something. Yeah.
And like before social media. It's so interesting.
That stupid catalog, which they talked about in the documentary, that goofy catalog. We were all just like, I want to be a naked person running through the woods with my Abercrombie cologne.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible what they did. So yeah, I want to kill that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I'm really torn because I actually, so I used to hate preppy clothes, but in the course of doing this series that I made about preppy clothes, I'm now like obsessed with them and I love them. And it's been very like healing for me, given our, collective
experience,
Abercrombie infused millennial background. But I would probably marry the white button down. So classic, so stable. Really just want to hitch your wagon to that.
Oh yeah.
And then, well, I'd fuck the green Lacoste polo. That's a fun fling.
You know what? I completely agree with you. I guess this was much easier than I thought, because I was thinking the white button up, obviously he has a job. Okay, we love a stability. We love a king with a 401k. Like, so we're marrying the button up. We'll have a one night stand with the collared Lacoste. Why not? We'll wear it. We'll smell that Abercrombie cologne on us as we're leaving the next morning. It'll be a nice little fun time. And then we forget. And I'm agreeing.
Oh, that's so funny. I was interpreting them totally differently. I was like, okay, white button down is more of a like Amelie Honor, like fashion sort of guy.
Yes.
Just mixing it up. The green polo is more like Andre 3000.
Oh,
like
yes.
Cheeky. That's the thing about preppy, though. It can like sway all these different ways.
Just like, so tell us, we've kind of alluded to it, but just give us the elevator pitch of the new series, just so we know, if everyone listening, the new season of Articles of Interest will be out soon, I'm imagining?
Tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Tomorrow
okay,
it comes
so
out. So by the time this is out, I don't know when this is coming out.
It's out. Yeah, yeah. Okay, everybody check it out. Give us what, titillate us a little bit here.
Okay, so I was going to just do one episode about preppy clothes, and it was going to be mostly focused on this like Abercrombie stuff we've been talking about.
Yep.
But then I dug into like, if you watch the Abercrombie documentary, they're like, and preppy clothes was such a time-honored thing, they were going to continue that tradition. I was like, wait, what is that tradition? Like, what's up with preppy clothes? Where did they come from? And the story is so wildly deep. I mean, it really starts with like Brooks Brothers in 1818, in like the early days of American democracy. And it's functionally the story of how Brooks Brothers created the preppy look, and then a Jewish man from the Bronx worked at Brooks Brothers and learned everything he knew about clothes and went on to become Ralph Lauren and give that look to the whole world. And it's about how preppy clothes, every generation, it was in the 1900s, it was in the 1920s, it was in the 1960s or 1950s, it was in the 1980s, it came back in the 2010s, arguably, depending on who you ask, it's back now. But why is this trend that comes back over and over again and also sort of never goes away? Wearing a button-down shirt and khakis is just like clothes. It's just like what people, like men of a certain age just wear it. People of a certain demographic just wear it. It's sort of like what we consider classics or basics.
Yes.
Like if you go to Uniqlo, the models are just wearing these clothes that used to be called preppy, and no one even calls it preppy anymore. Like when I talk to the CEO of Brooks Brothers now, he's like, we don't use that word. They're just called
classics.
Clothes.
Yeah.
And so it's really interesting because I was expecting it to be this. I thought this was a style worn by like boring old white men, but the history is like very Black, very Jewish, and very Japanese. There's this whole part that like takes place in Japan. And as we go through the history, like decade by decade, there's so much to learn about like why trends happen, where trends come from, why we wear what we wear. And each decade sort of parallels a very obvious thing going on in our own time. So I learned so much about the history of 20th century fashion from exploring preppy clothes. I think it's like the most important because it's so ubiquitous. To me, I felt like a fish learning what water is. Like, oh my God, this is the most important fashion story.
I'm so intrigued.
Oh, thanks.
Because again, it's like that Miranda Priestly monologue.
Yes, totally. It's the cerulean blue
yes,
thing.
Yes, we just buy clothes and we don't think much of it. So what? Wow. How does Japan get worked in? I got to find out.
It's a fascinating story.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have made a seven-part. I am not one to make a seven-part series unless I believe it's warranted. I didn't have to make this a seven-part series. I only made seven chapters because I was like, it truly needs it. Each decade needs its own chapter.
Wow. Because when I think of the word preppy clothes, again, I go back to high school, to rich girls and the rich girl table. And I also think of Zach Morris because A.C. Slater referred to him as preppy.
Yes.
And so I think of like the Zach Morris look, this all-American that's in quotes.
Yep.
I can't wait.
Oh, thanks.
Seven parts. Buckle up, baby.
Thank you.
It's going to be exciting. Okay, so everybody check that out. But I guess this is Natchbue. I have to ask you about products and things. So let's go there. You said you're not really a skin gal. Do you have anything that you use on yourself that you really like? You have fabulous curly hair. There's got to be a hair regimen.
I definitely have things I use.
Yeah.
I use things on my skin. I don't like my skin.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm very curious for any recommendations you have. But for curls, I definitely use, do you know Eco Slay?
No, but I love the name.
Oh, they're fantastic. And they don't have any preservatives or anything. So you have to keep it in the refrigerator. And it's all natural. It's great. And it comes in these big pouches.
I love a pouch.
And they have a reusable program, so it can be zero waste. I love it.
Are they based in New York?
I forget if they're based in New York. I bought it from a salon I use, but it's fantastic. I use the vanilla pudding from Eco Slay.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
It's
but
great.
Not like the Jessica Simpson where you can actually eat it too.
No,
okay.
Unfortunately, okay. I loved that. And then I don't know, everything else I buy from like the Park Slope Food Co-op. I buy like natural scrubs for my face and stuff. But the only thing that I buy like from Sephora, I'm curious what you think of this. I feel like it's the Ilia tinted face serum with the sunscreen. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's so good.
It's
that's
so
my
good.
Ride or die.
Do you follow Charlotte Palomino? Oh yeah, you're
no,
not on
that?
Instagram. Oh my god,
who is that? Tell me.
Oh my, Avery, you're killing me here. You two would get along, gangbusters. She has incredible. Yeah, Charlotte Palomino, and she's like you in the sense that she has brunette hair and wonderful eyebrows. Y'all are of a similar age. And her thing is just research and
breaking
down the trends and things. But she did a video on that product. And she basically said, in order to get the sun protection you need, you have to use a lot of it.
No.
And she broke down the cost of the product because it is not a cheap product.
It is not.
Basically, it's like
product.
$3. I'm butchering this. Everybody look it up. But there, it's a lot of money per use in order to get the right amount, because these physical sunscreens, you got to put a layer. You got to do a layer.
Yeah.
And most of us are not using enough.
Physical sunscreens as opposed to like
So there's two different types of sunscreen. There's chemical and there's physical. The physical sunscreens are the ones that are made from minerals, and they actually protect your skin physically from the sun, as opposed to the chemical sunscreens, which you put on and then the ingredients block the sun from absorbing into your skin.
Oh, that's so interesting. It's like the two kinds of IUDs. That's fascinating.
Yes, exactly. So I would say the copper IUD would be the mineral sunscreen.
It's the physical.
Yes. Exactly. Great analogy.
I'm so amazed that you know all the science.
Well,
so cool.
I don't necessarily, but I have done a lot of fucking episodes of this show. So you pick
up. Do you have a recommended tinted sunscreen?
I have been using this one called Say Beauty, and they sent it to me and it was incredible. And it also made its rounds on TikTok. Oh, it's SAIE. Say Beauty Tinted Moisturizer.
Ooh.
It is fabulous. I also really like the Tower 28. The Tower 28 tinted sunscreen is also incredible. The Tower 28 has more coverage. So if you like more coverage, get that one. If you like a more natural coverage, get the Say. But those are my two, honey. That's what I'm
making. Thank you.
But then I also do a layer of sunscreen before that just to make sure I'm covered.
Oh, that is so smart.
But I'm breastfeeding, so I only use physical sunscreens right now. I'm not using – there are some incredible Korean lovely chemical sunscreens. I'm just not using them right now. But so I'm all about that physical, honey.
Wow. Thank you so much. And here I was so proud of myself. I was like, I use sunscreen every day.
No, that Ilia.
This fancy Sephora stuff.
It's great. You just have to put you got to really layer it.
Wow.
And then you look very – sleek, right?
She thick. Yeah.
Which is a moment.
And
there's
pungent.
There's a lot of squalene, I believe, is the oil, because it does give you that oil.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Oh, yeah. Can I ask you another
Yes, please.
Questions for
I hope I have any answer.
So many times I've tried zero waste product.
Yeah.
Especially like the two things I use are like tinted sunscreen and eyeliner. And I've tried zero waste eyeliner, but it always is just like gross and chalky, the natural stuff. And do you have any that you like?
Zero waste?
Yeah.
There's a lot of brands are now doing the refill system.
Yeah.
So that would be something
that counts.
Yeah. There's one called Tristique.
Huh.
T-R-E-S. I'm just making sure I'm getting it. So Tristique. They pride themselves in being first 100% clean, zero waste makeup product.
Whoa.
And they have a system. You can buy this really cute little, it looks like a pencil case. And I believe it's made from a recycled water bottle. And they have lots of different colors. And you can buy a whole kit of a foundation stick, a bronzer stick, an eyeliner, a mascara. And when it's done, they just send you the refill, like a little refill. And you stick it in.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And it's a woman-owned brand. I believe they're based in New York. So for you, the carbon footprint would be very small.
That's fantastic.
And I liked everything I used of theirs. They have really pretty colors and they extended their shade range recently so they can really cover lots of different honey skin tones, which I appreciate. So maybe check Tristique out if you're trying to be eco.
Thank you. I love that. Cool.
Keep coming.
Amazing.
Yeah, anything else? Ooh, baby. I'm on a roll now.
I'm trying to remember. I periodically... I've been like, oh, good question for Jackie.
Do you do like a skin routine? Do you have like a cleanser and a cream or anything like that?
I use, you know, Zoom Face.
Oh, that's right. You said you use Co-op stuff.
Yeah, I use like Co-op stuff.
That.
But it smells so nice. It's just like sugar, basically. It's like a sugar scrub. And then I use a serum from the health food store.
So if you're a member of a co-op, does that mean you have to go and shelve groceries sometimes?
Yes, it does. And there's so much drama at the Park Slope Food Co-op. It is such a thing. They're like minor niche Brooklyn celebrities, you know.
Oh, I think I remember like Kate Hudson or somebody. Yes. Yeah.
And then they're like all these rumors about like who got a Task Rabbit to like do their shift for them.
Oh my God.
It's like it's honestly, it's a little much, but I love the Park Slope Food Co-op. It's really nice.
So what have you had to do? Have you had to like put oranges away or?
Oh yeah. Put all kinds of produce away. Although honestly, the shift that I get to do now is I get to work at a soup kitchen and that counts.
Yes,
so I've been doing that.
That's great.
That's great. Yeah.
This is going to sound insane, but you live in New York, so maybe you've heard about the insane, just the competitive nature of preschools. Have you heard about this?
Oh my God. I am childless, but I live in like Child Central in Park Slope. And yes, I have heard of this. Is it not the same in LA?
I have no idea the New York culture. I would imagine it's bad, but it is. I have friends who literally were at Cedars with their newborns calling, getting on lists.
Seriously?
It's really intense. And so I haven't put my son on any lists yet, but my physical therapist was saying, he's almost 6 months old. You got to get on the lists.
No.
I know. And my husband was like, oh, my friend is on the board at this co-op preschool. And I said, Ben, do you know what that means? That means that we're going to have to go into the class and teach / clean the bathroom. I don't know what they're going to make us do. And I said, are you comfortable with that?
Oh, no, honey.
I'm doing it.
No, excellent.
I just was making sure he was aware of what that meant because, you know, he's a busy guy.
I love that idea.
No, honey, I would wear my kooky Southern Aunt earrings. I'd be like Miss Libby from Billy Madison. I'd be like rubbing paste on my face and it would be fab.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, I love this for you. I really hope that happens. I don't know. There's something about... Well, I don't know. There's so much talk right now of like, we need to form communities and help each other out. And I think that's true. And it's really nice to have a co-op model that makes you do it.
Yes.
To like build something. It's great. I love this.
We need to all be more in touch with our communities. And after giving birth, I can't even, you have to have help. You have to have people around you to help. And if you don't,
the family unit's not enough.
We don't even have that anymore. We're all in our own little world and our own little thing. So shop local, meet your neighbors, vote in local elections, get involved in your community, do your co-op shift, everybody. Okay. This is me and Avery telling you this. If you take anything from this episode,
coastal nightmare, coastal elite nightmare.
Oh, well, listen, if the shoe fits, wear it, sweetie. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to come visit and go to the co-op. That sounds exciting.
Oh my God. Get this. It's like so hard to visit. It's like members only. Stop. You can't come. No. I'm telling
you. It's like
Soho
House.
It's a little much. Okay. It's a little much. It is like rustic, crunchy Soho House.
So how did you get in? Do you have to apply and they interview you and stuff?
My sister and I were both trying to get in. And my sister was like refreshing. And late at night, she was like, applications are open, get in. It's like a thing. It's a real thing.
And I thought my preschools were bougie. Damn. This is crazy.
It's a little nuts. It's a little nuts.
Well, I love hearing about subcultures. So I feel this is a subculture that I would love to just visit.
Yes. There are ways. There are ways to get you in. Be in touch next time you're in New York.
Oh, wasn't that an episode of Broad City? How she acted
exactly,
like,
pretending to do this shit. It's a total thing. It's like a cultural institution.
Okay, well, I'm going to get in one way or another because I got to check this out. Okay, Avery, I ask everyone this. This is kind of wrapping up our interview here. Self-care rituals, things that you do that make you, that are musts, non-negotiables in your day-to-day life. What are some of those?
I'm really bad at self-care. Well, the way that I don't know, my favorite thing, my favorite treat is to play hooky and go to a museum.
Yep.
That's like my favorite thing. Mm-hmm. And because it's very like, fuck off, no one talk to me. And just wandering around, turn my phone off and go to a museum. And then just like taking notes on things I'm excited about. That's my favorite thing, especially if I can like bike to it. If I can like get on my bike, go to the Met, just like spend the day. And it really works best when I'm like supposed to be doing something else.
Yes, the added edge of I shouldn't be here right now, but I am.
And it makes it feel like such a treat. And going alone, I like going to museums with friends, but I find it really hard because I'm like, I want to talk. I want to know how you are, but also like,
right. It can be such an immersive experience when you're not speaking with someone. Have you ever been to DC?
Yes.
Have you been to the African American Museum? It is incredible.
Not yet. I want to go so badly. I hear it's amazing.
I think it's the best museum I've ever been to. And also, if you've ever been to Dallas, which is where I'm from, the JFK Museum is incredible.
Really?
And
I haven't been either of these.
And they have the whole immersive thing where you can listen to the audio and it's mixed well. And it's just so well done. And obviously such a dark, horrific thing that happened. The president was assassinated in Dallas. And this is where it happened. So the museum is right on the corner. You look out the window and you see the street.
Wow.
But just, it's so well done. So those are my two.
I love that you said it's mixed well. You're such an audio nerd.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. You put in the headphones and you hear. It's just great. So those are my two museums for you to check out.
Yes. That's so, and when people are like, oh, I'm feeling kind of sad, I feel disconnected, I feel uninspired, that I'm like, stop what you're doing, don't do your work, go to a museum.
Yes.
It's the best way. It's like going on Tumblr, but
IRL.
It's like real life. It's an immersive, inspiring experience. And if I don't do that regularly, like at least once a month, I get kind of wilted and like upset, and I find it hard to have ideas, but I need that input.
What a great answer. No one has ever said that on HBU yet.
Oh, cool.
And so I love it.
Thanks. I love your museum recommendation.
I just went
to the JFK Museum.
I just took my way too young son to really appreciate it, but I went to see the Takashi Murakami exhibit at the Broad here in LA, and it was so
my God,
fucking awesome.
You are such a cool mom. If I have kids, I want to be bringing them to exhibits they can't yet understand.
Yeah, I wanted to go, and it ended in September, so it was more for myself. But did I get did I get pictures holding him up next to the beautiful, cool paintings and things? Yes, I did.
It's definitely forming something. It's forming something in that mushy brain space.
I definitely think so too. The last thing I'm going to ask you, Avery, besides where we can find you, which again, why don't you have an Instagram? Please share with us, because I feel I don't have the strength that you have to not have one.
I don't feel like I have the strength to have one. It just made me hate myself. Yeah. Every time I went on Instagram, I was like, I should change my whole look. I should change everything about, you know, my pictures yes. are so stupid. I'm not getting enough likes. It just was, I was like, I can't do this. I can't. I had one for a year. And then I just found I was like buying a lot and hating myself and not like, I mean, I'm on Twitter.
Buying a lot and hating yourself. That could be the byline for Instagram. That could be Instagram. Buy a lot, hate yourself. That's exactly what it is.
But it's also such a useful tool of connection, yes. you know? It's
husbands
like
husbands can
great
cheat on their wives. Oh, yeah. God. It's like it's the place to be for all good things. No,
I mean, you've heard the analogy that Twitter's like New York and Instagram's like LA.
Oh, here we go again with the cultural elite bullshit. Yes. Sorry. No, that's very yes. true. That checks. Because I've had the worst, darkest shit happen to me on the internet on Twitter, for sure.
Yes. Yes, yeah. yes, yes, yes. Oh, I'm so sorry. Like cyberbullying?
I don't want to get into it. Yeah, but yeah. I mean, people are just these little eggs with no face can really come at you, can't they? I also totally. Got attacked by a bunch of Dua Lipa stans, and that's another story. Don't
Oh my God.
Don't tweet anything about anyone really famous in the pop. Just don't. Because it will... I guess all they do is search her name all day long. And then just come God. At you. But I muted it. It wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I was just like, wow, there's a lot of eggs telling me that my podcast sucks and that I should give up my career and I'm jealous of Dua Lipa, which are all true, wow. but I don't appreciate wow. hearing it from an egg.
Have you heard Dua Lipa's podcast?
I haven't. She has a beautiful voice.
She does have a beautiful yes. voice. The interviews aren't bad.
Yeah. Good for her. My thing is just when you're a famous pop star, do you need a podcast? That I'll leave that for the audience to decide. Okay, that was all I tweeted. Okay, being bitter, the eggs called me out.
Well, the real proof will come when does Dua Lipa have a palate?
You know what? Not that I know of. To be determined, Avery. We'll
to
see.
Be determined. She'd do a good one.
She would, honey. I would. I'd buy what she's selling. More than Ozzy Osbourne. Okay, Avery, please tell us where we can find you. And Articles of Interest Season 3 out now. I'm assuming you could find that where podcasts are.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
There you go.
And I'm on Twitter at, well, it's not a very catchy handle. It's just my last name, which is spelled stupid. Again, Ellis Island Barista. But it's at Truffleman.
Hey, that's fun.
Truffleman. Yeah.
That's a fun name.
That's fun.
Did you have AOL Instant Messenger? Were you of that era? Or you're a little younger than me.
No. I had it. And I remember I really wanted a fun screen name. Yeah. And I remember my dad was like, Avery, a screen name is something you have the rest of your life.
You will take it to the grave. Carefully.
Yeah, exactly. He was like, don't. I mean, honestly, it was like sort of wise. He was like, just pick something you won't be embarrassed of later. But now it's such a cultural touch yes. point to have one you're embarrassed of. So I wish he let me do the one that I wanted.
Well, what was
it? Would have been super. Get this. I was a child in school and we were planting seeds in our little school garden and we were planting morning glories and I thought they were the most beautiful flower. And so I was like, morning glory, like 557 or whatever. That's what I wanted. What was yours?
So your dad wouldn't let you be morning glory 556.
Yeah. He was like, just do something you want. So it was Ave Treff. He was like, just do something you wouldn't be embarrassed about.
I was It's Me Jackie 03.
That's cute.
And the reason I did that was because famously on AOL Instant Messenger, you would be typing and all of a sudden you'd get an alert. It would say, so-and-so wants to send you a message. Do you accept? And so I thought it would be cute if it was like, it's me, Jackie. Like, it's me.
Yeah.
Which is why
very cute.
I came up with that. And so 03 was my grad year. Honey, the 20 years coming around the corner. Yes.
Oh my God.
I know, it's crazy. I just want to say, did you ever listen to What's the Story, Morning Glory, the album by Oasis?
No, I was not an Oasis person.
Yeah, I unfortunately had an ex-boyfriend who just would not stop fucking playing that CD.
I feel like that's how it happens. Oh. That's the trend, the mode of transfer with Oasis.
I have memories of him screaming it in my car, like in my ear. He didn't have a
I'm
car,
so sorry.
Which is why I drove him around. Honey, listen.
Oh my God. Your service.
Listen, you live and you learn, right?
Burned and learned.
That's right. Ooh,
morning glory.
Honey. Well, Avery, this has been my absolute delight.
This was so fun, Jackie.
You've
Thank
lived
you.
Up to all expectations.
Oh, geez.
And I can't wait to listen to season 3 of Articles of Interest, all about American Ivy. And I would say I'll follow you on Instagram, but not applicable, which I respect. Again, I respect.
I respect. It's great. And it's also nice. It's like no pressure for anyone to follow me. It's all great.
Did you know that there's a hashtag of your name?
Oh, there is.
Because people,
that's cool.
When you do things and people want to tag you, they add the hashtag of you. And I know that because, again, I research my guests. I'm basically you. I'm sleuthing and doing reporting. And
it really shows. I really have to say, your show actually taught me a very valuable lesson. And I thought that I didn't care. I was always really resentful that fashion and beauty, hear me out. I was always really resentful that fashion and beauty were paired together.
No,
I was like, fashion's nothing like beauty.
No, I feel the same way. It's annoying.
But I was always like, you know, there are all these beauty podcasts. How could you even have a beauty podcast? And then I realized listening to your show, and it's so in depth, and you ask the questions that I want to know about how people feel about how they look and how people engage in commerce and engage with the overcapitalized beauty industry in this really thoughtful, intelligent way. And you like clearly put the work in. I was like, oh, right. I was thinking about beauty podcasts in the same way that people think about me when they're like writing off fashion, or they say it's not important or not a useful metaphor for larger things. And so I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
It was a very humbling moment to become a Natchbute fan.
I will say I took Natchbute off the beauty charts about a year ago. Wow. I'm on the comedy chart now, which is way more competitive, and I'm not even charting on it. But it's because I want people to not assume that Natchbute is literally just somebody talking about makeup for an hour. We barely talk about makeup on Natchbute now.
Yeah,
it's so
exactly.
much other. That's why I say it's a lifestyle podcast. It's more lifestyle now than it is beauty. So I hear that. And also, fashion is one of those things that you intrinsically participate in, whether you like it or not.
Totally.
As Miranda Priestly just famously said on Devil Wears Prada. So I think it's a fascinating topic that I could talk about all the time, even though I don't consider myself a fashionista. I watch all the, you would lose it, Avery, on TikTok, all the kids and their fits. And they're so enthusiastic and so knowledgeable about how they discuss it and the choice. It's just, the kids are going to save us.
The idea that fashion is like a source of, Rachel Tashin coined this term, a source of intellectual delight is like so different than even 5 years ago. It is so cool. Like the discourse is like growing.
There's this guy who just stops people in New York. I think it's called Streets of New York. And he just stops you and asks them about their outfits. And through that, you get to know the person and where they're from. And this piece was my grandmother's. And I could watch it for hours. Like you said, it would suck your life away.
I love that. But I really think beauty is the same way.
100%.
It's really interesting. And I had no idea.
It is the same. It is. They go hand in hand for a reason. I guess that's why they're on the chart together.
The chart that you left.
Yes, the chart that
that you left.
Peace. But we love all our beauty sisters. But Jackie was trying to rebrand.
A pivot.
We love it. We love a pivot, and we love a rebrand, sweetie. Avery, I'm going to let you go because we've already gone over, and I know you're a busy lady. You probably have oranges to put away at the co-op. So thank you for being here. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Natchbute. And you deserve to be happy. Yeah, I'm talking to you. And don't forget to cream your neck and keep your fringe fresh. Avery, do you cream your neck?
Oh, my God, no.
Okay, so from here on out, you're going to.
Okay.
Your neck is your face. Fun fact, your neck is your face. So
you mean just that people see it with your face?
Your neck needs to be cared for in the same way your face is.
Huh.
If there's one mission statement of Natchbute, it's cream your neck. So
thank you.
So are you going to cream it tonight for me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm.
Then my work here is done.
Love this.
All right. Great convo.